Welcome to Closer to Christ, the sermon podcast from St. Paul's Lutheran Church and the Bridge in Muskego, Wisconsin. You can learn more about our ministries at stpaulmuskego.org. And now for this week's message.
God's grace, His mercy, His peace belong to us from God the Father through His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. Resurrection reality, John 15, 1 through 8, and verse 16. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, therefore you and me, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. This is the word of our God. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, we are going to scratch the surface on this text today. This is deep, deep, deep stuff. And yesterday I was still pondering. Hey, that survived. It's that sitting down thing. I'll put it in my pocket. There we go. Yesterday I was still pondering how to finish this off, and then God gave me a new beginning. I was out for a walk. On Janesville Road. I went up to College Avenue by Maddie's, and I was walking College Avenue by Maddie's. It's not a smart thing to do, but I did, jumping into the ditch and back, car after car. But it was right as the warm air was rushing in, all the wind was there, and I got up to Quick Trip, and there's this flood water retention pond on the east side of Quick Trip by the car wash, right? And I'm walking around that, and I'm just thinking about the sermon. All of a sudden, I look, and here in the wind and the sun and the warmth, I look, and this patch of water is maybe 70 feet across, 40 feet wide, and I see a muskrat swimming. And I literally stopped, and I looked, and I said out loud, "Dude, not a good idea. You're surrounded by traffic and asphalt." And I said, "You got to do muskrat stuff, and you got to find a wife and have kids. And who's going to find you here?" And he's swimming and he's moving. And I thought to myself, you know, even the animals, God, in a different way than us as people, we have to recognize that, right? We are the pinnacle, the peak of God's creation, right? But God made even the animals, in a sense, to have relationship. In order to be around in years to come, there got to be more muskrats. And I'm like, dude, not good. Kind of like us. God made us for relationships and being connected. Now, I'm going to give the guys a heads up here because, you know, we guys, oh, yeah. Raise your hand if you are in a committed relationship. Every married person's hand better be up. Every married person's hand better be up. All right, you are in a committed relationship. What does that mean? to be in a committed relationship because God made us for relationship. What does, wait a second, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Hold on to that thought. Flip to the backside of your worship folder if you are one who fills in the blanks. Let's get Jesus' picture down first. I was all excited about the muskrats, okay? But vine and the branches, we're going to take care of this pretty quickly, all right? So fill in your blanks accordingly. John 3:16 is the root of the vine. God so loved the world that he set into motion the sending of his son to die for our sins, that through faith in him we are saved. That's the root of the plant, the promise of God. He sent Jesus, who is the vine. And you and I are all the branches coming off of the vine. And we are to produce God's fruit, which we're just going to label godly impact. Godly impact. Okay? Got that all filled in? All right, back to muskrats and our committed relationships. What does it look like to be in a committed relationship? I thought about coming down, sitting next to somebody and saying, so talk to me about your committed relationship. What's that like? And I thought that might be kind of dangerous. But committed relationships. So, you know, some people will shy away from commitment. There are some guys, some gals too, but I think mostly guys who are just commitment shy. Back in the, praise be to God, if you don't need to date anymore, praise be to God. Right? That was hard. That was difficult, right? Yeah. And if you are dating still, God bless you. Jesus is ahead of you in the journey. Awesome. But this commitment thing, right? Commitment. Because when we commit, it changes stuff. I got to put the couple's calendar, you know. You can always tell what the priority of someone's life is by what's entered in their calendar. And when you get into a relationship, and then a committed relationship, that calendar changes. You're like, whoa, am I ready for that? And maybe you're like the calendar on the right, if you can see it a little bit. This is a family now, and the whole calendar, the whole year is up there, and it's all pictures of the family, and life is different. A committed relationship. It really takes time, energy, and accommodation. Somebody else in your life. Our next question. Are you in a serious relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I ponder that a little bit. Are you in a serious relationship with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Raise your hand if you believe that Jesus is your Savior from sin. Well then, buckle up, you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, because we're told in that last verse we read, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. If you believe in Jesus as your Savior, guess what? Jesus chose you, and he called you. And he made you his own through that good news message of him as a Savior from sin. And then the Bible tells us that when that happened, God grafted us into the vine that is Jesus. Why did God have to graft us into the vine? Well, by nature, and we talked about this ahead of the service, it was in our liturgy ahead of communion. But why did God have to graft us into the vine? It's because by nature, you know, all of us come from spiritual stock, right? Spiritual background. And in reality, all of us come from stock that is sinful. Romans 5, verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all of us have sinned. By nature, we come from sinful stock. By nature, we love first and foremost to sin. By nature, that's our bent. So Jesus came and said, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. I listen to my Father's voice. I obey my Father's voice. I am the true vine, and you are the branches. When God brought us to faith in Jesus, the Bible uses a picture of God grafting us into the vine that is Jesus. And from him flows our new life. And what does that mean for us in this committed relationship? Time, energy, and accommodation. It's what a committed relationship looks like. Jesus inspires us in this relationship. This relationship is meant to be a conscious thing on our part, even a conscious decision every day. I am in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I shared with the band in our devotion prior to worship. A good friend of mine gave this to me in the last year. And I love this thing. You put it up against the wall. Let me put it up here. You can see it maybe a little bit better. But an image of Jesus cut out of steel. It's awesome. But my wife said, can you please hang it over at the office? Because I'm afraid that one of the grandkids will impale themselves on this thing. This is sharp. And I said to the band, you know, there are days I wonder, is Jesus real? Did Jesus really come into this world and die for my sins? And it's kind of helpful to go over and tap this and go, yeah, I think what he suffered is real, because this could have been me dying for my sins. Instead, it was Jesus. You see, Jesus came into our world for an honest, authentic relationship. Time, energy, accommodation. He put us on his calendar with a purpose to die for us, for our sins, to bring us forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And he called us to faith in him, either in the waters of holy baptism or through the hearing of the word. And we believe that he came and lived and died and rose, and he will come again. We're on his calendar. And that's authentic relationship. Guys, if dating your wife is not on your calendar much, and add it a little bit more, she'll love it. She'll love it. Authentic, serious relationship. We learn it from our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Okay? So are you in a serious relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, look out. If you are, and you think you are, and you want to be, Jesus will change you. Look at verses 5 and 7. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So this is a time thing. A relationship is time with each other. And Jesus says time with him is time in his word. And the more you are in his word, the more you are conversing with him, guess what? You're going to start to look and sound a lot more like him. Kind of like those couples who've been married for 40 years and they're kind of looking the same physically. A lot of that has to do with we kind of say, okay, honey, how should I get my hair cut? Oh, I can wear that shirt, sure. And all of a sudden we come to church with the same colors, and I notice, I say, wow, you're color coordinated today. And he's like, oh, yeah, I guess we are. And she knew all the time, right? The longer we hang out together, the more we are like the person we hang out with. Look out, if you hang out with Jesus, time in his word, you will look like him. Which sometimes can be unsettling. As awesome as following the promise class is, and it's my favorite thing to do and to teach and to share God's word, every once in a while there is someone who will come to following the promise and they'll be there a class or two or three, and then all of a sudden they're gone. And I put the best construction, maybe they moved. But sometimes you wonder, Lord, is it because as they're hanging out with you, they're sensing, hey, if I hang out with this Jesus too much, it's going to change me. And I don't want that kind of relationship with Jesus. And they pull away, and it saddens my heart just a bit, but I get it. Because look out, if you hang out with Jesus, he will change you. So, are you in a serious relationship with Jesus Christ? Got to ponder that. Because look out, there is no in-between. Let me say that again. There is no in-between. Either you are with him or you are against him. No in between. You can't have Jesus and the world. You can't have Jesus and my favorite sin. You can't have Jesus and it's Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus. Think of examples in Scripture when Jesus told his disciples that he was going to suffer and die at the hands of the chief priests and the Pharisees, and he would die only to rise again. Peter, in love for his Savior, never, Lord, it's not going to happen to you. And Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. Either you are with me, said Jesus, or you are against me. And without him, we can do nothing spiritually. Without him, we are dead. With him, we think like him, we look like him, and we live like him. Think of Judas. Judas thought he could do Jesus and money, Jesus and greed, Jesus and an end around, and get some money, betray Jesus, and still be good. And Jesus, in front of all the other disciples, a little bit hidden, but directly to Judas, called him out and later said it'd be better for him if he had not been born. Because he's heading down a path of being dead apart from me, and he will face the judgment of God. No in between. You see, Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. The Father is the gardener. And if you know a bypass pruning shears and you know how to trim and prune, you can relate to Jesus pretty well. The Father is the gardener. To be a gardener is not a passive activity, sitting in your chair, enjoying your garden, never touching it. Being a gardener is an active activity. And if you are a pruner of grapevines, it's a very active activity. And that's the Father. He's the gardener. He's active in pruning us. And Jesus makes it clear that if we claim to be part of the vine, claim to be in Jesus, but all we are is Nathan, all I am is me, the Father eventually will cut off that branch and throw it into the fire, judgment. But if we're like, I love Jesus, he's my Savior, he's my Lord, I want a sincere relationship, a serious relationship, God the Father with a twinkle in his eye says, okay, good, look out, here come the pruning shears. Maybe you know something about things like pears and apples produce fruit on the second year growth, peaches the first year growth, grapes on the new growth. And so you prune and prune and prune. It's called cleaning the vine. And so God in love says, hey, we're in a relationship, you and me. You love my son? Yep, I'm all in. God, I'm in a committed relationship with Jesus. God says, look out, here I come. In all things, I am working for the good of those who love me. And he prunes and he prunes and he prunes to make us more fruitful. So it shouldn't surprise us when the hardships come. It shouldn't surprise us when challenging verses from Scripture come. Our God, our Father, as the gardener, is always working to prune us to produce more fruit. You want abundant grapes, you cut like crazy, and the new shoots will come, and the grapes will come, and a rich harvest. So God works in our lives, and he cuts out what is sinful. He challenges what is wrong. He challenges us to repent, to turn away from the sin. He forgives it. He cuts it off from us. And from it comes this new growth. I am forgiven. I am a redeemed child of God. I love this relationship with Jesus Christ. But then there's always that challenge because there's a part of us that doesn't like it. Can't I do my own thing when I want to? Can't Jesus just be for Sunday morning? Can't Jesus just be for Christmas and Easter? He's really useful for funerals and weddings, but every day, does he have to be that kind of God in my life? And God says, you want a real relationship with me? I'm the gardener. I prune. Many years ago, I met a man in Florida going door to door. And some of you have heard this story before, but it's worth resharing. Going door to door, inviting people to a church down there in Florida. And got to his door and knocked, and he opened up, and he saw the Bible I had in my hand, and he smiled, and I got it. But he said, hey, just don't say anything. Let me just tell you, I know all about Jesus, who came into the world supposedly to die for the sins of the world. But I'll tell you right now, I'm loving life the way I'm living it. But I'll tell you what. Someday when I'm flying over the Atlantic Ocean, and the pilot comes on the intercom and says, ladies and gentlemen, the plane, we're having trouble. It's going to go down. Whatever you do to prepare to meet your maker, do so. He says, then I will drop on my knees, and I will ask Jesus to forgive me, and I'll go to heaven, but right now I'm having too much fun. Not a sincere relationship, but I was able to witness and challenge him and try to help the Father pull out the pruning shears. Either we're with him and growing and thriving, or we're not, and there's no in between. This serious, sincere relationship with Jesus. So are we in a sincere, serious, committed relationship with Jesus? Well, look out, because Jesus says, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." You see, fruit is visible. Fruit is meant to be a blessing that is shared with others. So Jesus says, you are. You are the fruit on the vine. The branches, and you produce the fruit, the godly things in your life that make a difference in the world. So go bear fruit and demonstrate that you are mine. So in this whole committed relationship thing, it's kind of like eventually if you're serious in a relationship, you need to take them home to meet the parents and meet your friends. Were you ever in a relationship where the person you were dating didn't want you to meet their parents and you kind of wondered why? Or never introduced you to their other friends? Why not? Are you ashamed of me? Don't you really like me? Jesus says, if you acknowledge me before heaven and before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. But if you disown me before people, I will disown you before my Father in heaven. There's no in between, no middle of the road. God has called us into relationship with him, and in the end, we bring him into our lives. We bring him into our relationships. We introduce him to the people in our lives by how we live and how we speak. Think about it. On a Sunday morning, we're all here. We are God's people. We look like God's people. We sing like God's people. We pray like God's people. But do we leave Jesus behind when we go back to work on a Monday morning? Do we leave Jesus behind when we go back to some of those family relationships? And what comes out of our mouth is not God talk that we learn from the words of God flowing in our lives, but it's me. The actions of my life, some would have trouble pulling me out of a lineup as a Christian. Jesus says, I chose you to go and bear fruit, visible, that people will know that you are my disciples, produce fruit that will last. What does that mean? Every day of our lives is meant by Jesus to be an investment in other people. Only people can go with us to heaven. Think of what Job said in his first chapter. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. But naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. What are you and I living for? What fills our calendar? Is it people and loving people, or stuff and loving me? And it's always a challenge for all of us. How do we love doing what we do in life without having it be the thing? Rather than living our lives going, boy, I'm God's man, I'm God's woman, I'm going to live my life for Jesus, hoping to bring other people along. Hopefully people at work say, hey, you know, you're always the nicest person. Why are you so nice? I love talking with you. There's a piece about you that is just so cool. You're not argumentative at the lunch table during lunch hour. You're just like a nice person. And I know you go to church. What's that all about? That's the fruit and the opportunity to bear more fruit. As you say, well, I got this friend in heaven named Jesus, and we have this relationship going on. It's really cool. He's my Savior and Lord. He died for me, and I trust in him, and I'm going to be in heaven someday. And so I live for him. And people go, wow, that sounds kind of nuts, but can you tell me more? Letting our light shine. Introducing Jesus to our friends. Might we lose a friend or two? Maybe for a time. But in the end, they're going to say, hey, you always were nice. I know you didn't want to hang out with us and get drunk anymore, but you always were nice. Can I talk to you about something? I remember years ago, a friend of mine talked about how he was working at a college while he was in college on the maintenance and grounds crew. And he would talk about how At lunch in the summer, they would play basketball in the outdoor basketball court for a half hour. And there was a mixed group of people from all walks of life who were there. And he said there was one guy who always, I mean, he invited Jesus Christ into every play. Jesus Christ, I missed that free throw. Ah, Jesus Christ, I missed that. And it was always Jesus Christ this, Jesus Christ that. And finally, he just said one day, he called a timeout, and he said, you know, you keep talking to Jesus, and I haven't seen him. Can you introduce him to me? Yeah, everyone looked at him like he was nuts. But he made the point, stop using his name. He's a friend of mine. He's a friend of mine. How do we make that fruit come alive? How do we make that fruit visible? It's unique to each and every one of us, where God has us, how he has gifted us. It's called vocations, the things God has called us to be and do. Do our kids see us, see Jesus in us as we parent? Does our spouse hear Jesus as we speak and comment? Does our workplace hear and see Jesus in us by how we handle ourselves? Remember, we began with a muskrat. A muskrat in a floodwater retention pond surrounded by asphalt and roaring cars, and he's happily doing his thing. But don't be the muskrat. God has not designed you and me for isolation. God has not designed you and me. I'm coming down, guys. Band. God has not designed us for isolation. God has not designed us to be alone. God has not designed us to isolate ourselves as though the world's all about me and what I want to amass. That little muskrat has his own little pond swimming through all the pollution in there. Glory be to the muskrat. But for you and me, God says, no, I want you to cast the net of your life wider. I want you to interact with the world. I want you to have relationships, but I want you to remember that it starts with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Spend time in my word, and I will be richly in you, and you will be rich in the producing of fruit to the world. Our Jesus came for relationship with us, and he fuels the relationship of our lives by how we live. But it only happens when we're in the Word and we remember, and when we remember how he came and put us on his calendar and died for you and me. I may have one more slide. There we go. So my challenge to all of us is get after it. Look at your calendar. Do you have time with Jesus on your calendar? If not, well, there's a recipe for success. Figure it out. Find a way. How do I read my Bible? What do I do to be in the Word? How do I put it on my calendar? And then pray boldly. Pray, dear Lord Jesus, every day make me your man, your woman. Make me different. Make me love your Word that I might shine for you and bring more people home to heaven to you with me. That's a bold prayer. Is our relationship with Jesus a committed one? Is it serious? Then time, energy, accommodation. Jesus is who we are. Living for him is what we do. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for sharing with us the picture that you are the vine and that we are the branches. And that from you flows our life, a life that stretches beyond the smallness of this little world, that stretches into forever through the forgiveness of our sins. We ask that you would help us as your sons and daughters, as your children, to grab hold of that serious, sincere, committed relationship that we have with you. We ask you to fill our hearts with your word, to fill our hearts with your grace and your truth, and then to fill our lives with the fruit of being your men and your women, that the world may see you in us, want you in us and through us, and may we share with joy this relationship we have with our best friend. Heavenly Father, in this room, many of us have our own challenges, our struggles, our own family members who are near death or struggling with life. Be with us all as we take the thoughts of today and live for you in our lives, that people may see you and hear you through us and be drawn closer to you. And now, Heavenly Father, we ask you to hear the prayer that your Son taught us as we gather all the thoughts of your people, praying together the Lord's Prayer words on the screen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And now receive with believing hearts the blessing of God upon his people. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace. And together God's people say, amen.
Thanks for joining us on the Closer to Christ Sermon Podcast from St. Paul's Lutheran Church and The Bridge in Muskego, Wisconsin. Closer to Christ podcasts are from our current sermon series and are released every Monday morning. For live stream services and other ministry information, please visit us online at stpaulmuskego.org.